This is the I Love Success podcast. I'm Peter Drukowski, and I have made a vow to myself to help as many people as possible to achieve their dreams. Let's get started. Hey guys, and welcome to the I Love Success podcast. This is the podcast where I meet the coolest and most successful people on the planet and share their stories. I'm glad to be on this journey together with you. What started as an idea has now become a movement. And my mission is to help 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams. I certainly can't do it myself, and because of that, I'm so grateful to all my amazing guests and listeners just like you from all over the world. So thank you so much. Get ready to get inspired, because here we go. Before we get started, let's give it up to our sponsor, Panos Emporio. Panos Emporio is Scandinavia's leading swimwear brand and has over 30 years of experience in swimwear. Panos Emporio offers bikinis, swimsuits, swim shorts, briefs, cover-ups, accessories, along with a fragrance collection inspired by Paradise Islands. The brand has a worldwide loyal customer base with dedicated followers, ranging from Hollywood stars and top celebrity models to world-famous athletes and royal families. Go to panos.com to learn more. What do you do if you're a successful triathlete with over 30 wins from all over the world, ready for the next chapter in life? You make a business out of the dehydrated organic banana candy your father made when you were a kid. Today's guest is the founder and CEO of the 8-digit business Barnana, the all-organic and sustainable super banana snack that you probably already bought from Starbucks, Whole Foods, Costco, and many more. Let's meet with Kawe Suplicy. Welcome, Kawe.
Thanks, Peter. Super happy to be here and share the story. Hopefully, other people will be motivated and try to start our own business or become an athlete. And happy to meet another former professional athlete.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm always very glad to meet with athletes because I think there's something certain and specific in the mindset of those people. And just sitting here with you, we never met. You seem so calm and relaxed in yourself. So I'm very curious about you. So can we start with Kawe? Who is Kawe really as a person?
As you said, I am very calm, and I think that always helped racing and now in business, because you can once you're calm, you make better decisions. But I like to say I see myself as a citizen of the world, just because being raised in a country like Brazil and then moving to the US at an early age and being able to travel throughout the world, I see my home or as the earth, not just one specific country. I don't consider myself just to be Brazilian or American. I just think like that we all live in the same place and we should protect in the same way, not one country more than the other. We all should be united as one.
Yeah, I love that. And I think I see myself, just like you said, as a citizen of the world. It's not... We're so good as human beings to put labels on everybody, right?
Yeah.
And... why do you think it is like that?
I think it varies from person to person. I think once you're exposed to different cultures and different people, it's easy to think outside that norm, that being so protective of one specific location or place. And you just realize that everyone is the same, just like you. As you mentioned earlier, offline from Macedonia, then to Sweden, now in the U.S., and we're all the same. We all just want to be happy and do good.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I love what you're talking about, be happy and do good. I want to talk more about that later. What would you say were your strengths as an athlete?
Because I started as a triathlete and had an amazing swim coach at the beginning, everything kind of evolved in a similar way. So I think that I was not really the best athlete in any of the sports. You have some people that come to triathlon as a swimmer and really come first out of the water in front of everyone. I would come on the first pack and was able to hang there. So I was very well-rounded. I was able to push really hard on the bike a lot of times, but at times also paid on the run. So sometimes it's not really where you're really good at or where you excel. It's how you manage that in a complete race. Because in endurance sports, there's so many things that happen throughout the race, and you have so much time to be thinking to yourself and face your demons. So it's more how can you let all those things go by and just focus on the race and not give up before anyone else does.
Yeah, those demons, I think everybody has them in some sense. Do you want to share what was your biggest demons in your race, and how did you cope with that to push through?
It's not an easy one because, it's just managing the pain. At the end of the day, endurance sports, that's what it is. Who can handle the pain for the longest? Yeah. Because people don't realize that the guys winning the races, they are probably in way more pain than the guys are in the middle of the pack. They just know how to handle that pain better and have a higher pain management. And I think that you just get better with time. It's just training and getting used to the pain and getting longer. So some days were better than others. It's hard. There's no magic formula. Yeah. But it was just trying to focus and forget about everything else and just let the pain become part of the moment and try to power through.
Yeah. No, I love that. These banana snacks, was that something your father invented, or can you just talk us through that story, or is it popular in Brazil? Or?
So my father developed this solar dehydrator in our backyard and started dehydrating a lot of different things. The first thing that he actually put in the dehydrator were bananas, and the dehydrator came from a random broken skyline. They're called bubble skyline. So it's a half a dome that he had from a working site that was cracked. So he decided to take it home and left on our backyard. After a few days, he realized that all the grass under the skylight was dried and turned brown. So he realized that the sun rays were getting trapped inside and dehydrating the grass. So he said, I'm going to put a base on this and sort of make it dehydrate other things. So he added some bananas inside of that and started dehydrating bananas. He didn't mean to do it. That was not a business or anything like that. So he just realized that he could make dehydrated fruits. So started giving to me and my brother and sister. So we grew up eating those dry bananas. But because, as I said earlier, Brazil produced a lot of bananas, other people dehydrated bananas as well. Yeah. So you can find them in grocery stores, but there's no brand behind. It's just this ugly-looking brown bananas that we love them because we grew up eating them.
Yeah.
But at that point, I realized that if I want to bring those brown bananas here, no one would buy them. That's when started putting some work on thinking what is the best format to sell that product and introduce to the States, what is the name. So it wasn't easy.
Yeah.
And but I think we were creative and came up with some great ideas. And it was really funny because I developed this, I have amazing people that help me create the company and do all that we do, but we came up with this idea to do a little cool package that brought some of the feelings that I had from growing up. I wanted to have those bright yellow bananas, the banana leaf, that green, which is also part of the Brazilian flag. So you had the green and the yellow. And to me, they felt very tropical. And that's what I wanted people to feel, something that was tropical. But we didn't add a picture of the product or didn't have a little clear part where people could see the product. So some of the experts in the industry told me, you have to allow people to see the product because they need to see what they're buying. And at that point, I was like, no, the product is so ugly. If we show them, they're not going to buy it. So my idea was like, let's make a very pretty package. And then people will buy that we will open. They're ugly, but once they try, they're going to love it. And they're going to keep buying. So it was funny how things started. And people did. People bought it. It was a lot of work, of course. Like we had to like get people to sample the product. But we introduced some other flavors, some really tasty products. We mixed them with chocolate. So we did something that was good for athletes, but not that was not our main target. Athletes ate because I knew a lot of them. I was passing them around to my friends. But I realized at the beginning that I want to create something that was just good for everyone. I wanted to bring a better option to foods that... and make those options available for everyone. So I want something that will be good for kids, for athletes, for elderly, whoever wants with the product is a very nice and good clean product.
Yeah, no, I love it. And I love that you are actually, the term is called upcycling, right? Because what I've heard is 2 of 10 bananas on organic farms are actually being thrown away.
Yeah, and that's something that I was not even aware before starting the company, because those stories became a lot more, became like people started learning more about them, because before I didn't know that. So I just found out that there was a lot of waste in our industry when I went to visit the banana farms for the first time. So I got to these farms and they are harvesting the bananas. And then it comes to the selection point, and there was a giant pile of bananas that, to my eye, looked perfect. And they were kind of being like a throwing away. So I was like, I asked, what is that? And they said, oh, those are the rejects or the seconds. Those bananas cannot be exported. And I didn't understand why. So they explained most of them are perfect bananas that are still green, but they're not green enough. So because they're not green enough, they will end up like through in the whole process takes time. They'll end up getting bad before they get to the consumers, or they're very large or very small. So all those bananas don't qualify. And in countries that produce a lot of bananas in South America, like Ecuador, Peru, Costa Rica, they have so many bananas in a small population. And if those bananas cannot be exported, they become compost, animal feed, or just trash. Mm. So I realized that we could create our products out of that. We still have to wait them to ripen. But for us, doesn't matter if they're too big or too small. We're going to cut them into pieces or make a paste out of them. And it became a big part of what we do. So once you go there and see that there's real people at those farms, the value that we have to become a company that is sustainable, that protects the environment, becomes even a bigger part of you. And I started becoming very passionate about that. Like I was passionate about my sport, I became very passionate about protecting the environment, about growing organic foods. Yeah. Because if you're not growing organic, you are using pesticides. Yeah. And those pesticides... affect the people that live in the areas. They wash into the rivers. They affect the fish. They end up in the ocean. So it's a whole a snowball effect that affects all of us. But people don't realize that. So a big part of what Barnett does now is promote organic foods, and we have a commitment to always be organic, but also reduce food waste and promote other companies to do the same, because we are doing a small part in the banana supply chain, but the same thing happened in a lot of different industries, a lot of different fruits, a lot of different foods. Yeah. So we just want the people to be aware of that and try to do a better job in their own industry, or people to do a better job when buying foods. We are all guilty of throwing away perfectly food because we bought too much or we didn't eat on time. So I just want to promote people to be more conscious when making those decisions, because It takes a lot of effort to grow foods, a lot of time, and especially if you eat meat, some people throw away a lot of meat because they bought too much. They went like a lot of quantity that they cannot eat. So always, I think it's important to be aware of like that food comes from like farms. If you have people growing them, that affects the environment. It takes a lot of water. So yeah,
I think that's very important. And I read somewhere that I think a third of all food that we buy is in some way thrown out, which is kind of a disaster. But let's talk about Cow at 32 in San Diego at the time, right? You're going to start this company. What was the next step? How did you get it going, you know?
I realized that I wanted to do that, and so just started doing a lot of research, getting the computer, talking to people. I was just telling everyone about this idea, bringing some samples from Brazil, sampling people. And it was interesting because very quickly I ended up meeting a lot of good people from the food industry, just because I was telling everyone, and someone always knew someone and would say, oh, this is a great idea, talk to my friend. And then the friend would say, oh, I know someone that might be able to help. So very quickly ended up meeting a lot of good people and started learning about the industry. And a lot was also just like cold calling, like a grocery stores, saying, I have this idea, what do you think? And I remember one specific store in San Diego that I called and I said, I have this idea, I have this product that I'm going to be making, and I want to sell in your store. And they said, how are you going to deliver the product? I said, that's a great question. I said, I'll bring myself. And he said, it doesn't work like that. You need to have a distribution company that will bring the products to us, because they were saying, imagine if every single product that we sell here, you have a person bringing the product. It's not going to work. So he introduced me to someone that owned a local distribution company. And this guy turned out to be one of the founders of Naked Juice, and then later Evolution Fresh Juices, so two very successful companies. So I started working with that guy, and he later, when we launched the company, started delivering the product to some grocery stores. But it was all word of mouth and talking to people and meeting and like picking their brain and trial and error.
And how long did it take from the initial decision to start the company till people could actually buy it in the stores?
I would say about 3 years. At the beginning, like I didn't, was more understanding of what is the format of the product that we're going to sell. The product kind of evolved in different ways, and the packaging and the message. So it took a while to also find out where to buy the bananas, how the supply chain works, who can make the product for me. And we don't realize how long all that takes in my mind. And I think a big part of being successful and is that like I didn't really know how hard it was going to be. So in your mind, you're naive and you think, oh, I'm just going to get some dry bananas, put in a bag and sell. I don't think if I would have done all again if I knew how hard it was, because it's not just like that. There's so many regulations when importing food, especially if you're going to be organic, and so many people in the whole supply chain and things that you have to do, and it takes also a lot of money and time. So learn a lot throughout the whole process. But I think the fact that I didn't know how hard it was going to be was helpful. Because you just did it. And sometimes you did it in different ways. They're not supposed to be the right way, but end up being better than the way that people have been doing, because I brought ideas from different areas, different industries.
No, I love that. The thing that I think many people are struggling with when they want to start a business is, how do I get it rolling? For example, it took 3 years until you even had the product. How do you support yourself during that time? How did all that work? Because I know a lot of people, they want to start something, but they're so afraid how they will support themselves and all of those things.
I think it's different from people to people. Like if you have a family, it's a little harder. But I think you can still kind of do things on the side, do things a little later. So if you're if you have some savings and you want to go head on, I think go for it. But for me, I was young. I didn't have to support a family or anything like that. I was like very frugal, so I could save money. I was like getting people to help me that I didn't have to pay. I was kind of selling the dream. Had a very lucky, had some amazing people that joined me at the beginning with just the idea that this was going to be big and they want to be part of that. Yeah. So as long as you are passionate and people see that passion, they will help you because people want to be around people that are passionate. That passes around. And then you get other people to be passionate and they are telling other people. And then you create kind of a movement of people that are working towards one thing, one vision. I think it's very important to have a vision and be let that vision take over and other people will help you and you'll find a way. Yeah. There's always a way.
If there's a will, there's a way, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and when did you guys realize that this can really be something?
I think one of the proudest moments was getting in a Whole Foods store and seeing a whole giant display of the product. So that was like really cool. And then seeing people buy the product that didn't know me. Yeah. I think that was one of the things when people start buying the product and it's not because they're my friends. And then they are telling other people, I realize, okay, I think this can become something good. But in my heart, I always knew that this could be good. I think you have to believe really hard that it's an incredible idea. Yeah. Otherwise, you're not going to do it. I think that there's a lot of things that can go wrong. But from the beginning, I had a vision that this could be really big. Yeah. And that's extremely important. If you don't have that, if you don't think that product is amazing, you shouldn't start the company or you shouldn't try to produce that product. Because part of being successful is really believing harder than anyone else. And that is very important because, as I said earlier, you need to have that to get other people to become part of the journey to help you to get to the end goal.
Yeah. Have you had any doubt in your company during these years and in yourself? Like, have you had that moment? You feel like, what am I doing?
I mean, those moments always come and go. It's just a matter of how you deal with them. In a way, it's very similar to being in a long race. You're gonna have ups and downs, and you just gotta stick to it. Believe in yourself. But absolutely, that happens all the time. I think it's just important not to let those moments become a big part of everything that you do. And I say that being an entrepreneur is almost like being bipolar. Yes. Because like you have these highs where like things are going extremely well and you're so happy, things are going according to plan, and then all of a sudden, sometimes on the same day, everything goes wrong. Yeah. And you like think to yourself, how did that happen? Yeah. And then like you're like just trying to fix problems after problems. Yeah. So I always say, as long as you have more good things than bad things, you're winning. Yeah. Because the bad things will happen no matter what. Doesn't matter how long you prepare for yourself, how much effort you put, how much work or training, things will go wrong. They will take longer. They will cost more. So you just got to believe that there's more things going well, or you just got to work harder to get more things to go well. And I heard something from that related to a different industry, but I felt that this is how entrepreneurship is. It was very funny because it's like looking at both sides of the road before crossing and then getting hit by a plane. Yeah. So you can prepare yourself. You can look out. There's no cars coming, but like something is going to come from the sky and hit you. Yeah. So you just gotta keep going.
Yeah. And the last question is something that I ask all my guests, because we're all about sharing stories and journeys. But at the end of the day, I want the people that are listening to this actually taking action in their own life to create their business, or being an athlete, artist, musician, a better father or mother, whatever it is. But I want them to have some type of passion in their life. So if they can do one thing right after this podcast to come a little bit closer to their dream, what would be your biggest tips that they can do right now?
I think the most important thing is finding like what is that you're good at and you enjoy doing. And focus, you know, like nowadays with our cell phones and internet, there is so many distractions. Yeah. So it's very easy to get distracted and never really focus. We all can get on the cell phone and just start browsing for hours and not accomplish anything. Mm-hmm. So just find what your goal is and focus doing that. Like once you find that, you'll forget about everything else. So if there's one thing, it's like a focus.
Yeah, no, I love that. Thank you so much, Kawe, for sharing your journey today at the I Love Success podcast. It meant the world to me. And I also want to thank everybody who listened to this podcast. If you like what we do, share this story and give us 5 stars on iTunes. We need your help to grow and we want to help people. But we, as I said, we can't do it ourselves. That's why we have amazing people just like Kawe here. And that's why we have you listening, so you can start focusing on your life. And I also want to thank our sponsor, Panos. Thank you for sponsoring us. It means the world. And that's it. See you guys next week. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Great to be here.
Thank you.